want to talk to you a little bit more about reset. What would it look like if God gave you that opportunity to reset, hit that reset button, to reconnect with what he wants to do in your life? That reset button is usually not something, again, we are looking forward to. That reset button is usually there when we tried everything else. When we've gone through all the steps, all the helps, we've read through the manuals, and it's still just not coming together. But sometimes that reset button is exactly what we need. That reset button is a chance for us to remember who God is, to remember whose we are, what's our story, and what's he doing. Where do you need to hit the reset button in your life? What area in your life do you need to just turn over and say, Lord, I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what to do about this. What family member or friend do you need to have a hard conversation with? Maybe a conversation with them and you haven't had them in a long time. Where do you need to pray and ask God to forgive? It's because text we're going to read comes from Psalm 146. If you're ever down, which I know that never happens to anyone except for probably me at times, but if you're ever down, Psalms 146 through 150, there's 150 of them, 146 through 150 are known as the praise psalms. Just beautiful, encouraging, helps you remember how great God is. So no matter where you find yourselves, I hope that it's all you hear. Check it out, read the Bible. Psalm 146, just try to usually open in the middle, should be around there. Let us jump into it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. How about that? I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. That's where I would say, underline that in your Bible. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Advent means coming. It means that Jesus is coming. We typically think about Jesus came, and that absolutely happened, and we celebrate that. But Advent means coming. That we prepare for his coming afresh, anew, in our lives, right here, right now. That over the centuries, over the millennia, they have gathered together like we are today in preparing our hearts for Jesus' coming. But what is maybe stopping that for you? What is making it so it's not just another day? What do you need to just turn over to the Lord and say, you know what, I've been struggling with and I need your help with? Where do you need to just say, God, I can't do it anymore? Where do you need to hit the reset button? I find it interesting, these words that were in the text. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down? What does that look like? I mean, how does that happen? Huh. I think it's about a priority, not priorities. A lot of times you might hear people going, you know, your priorities are out of whack. And that can be a fair assessment of things, for sure. Sometimes people go, you know, God, family, career, maybe thing. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But when I read the words of Jesus, I find it so much bigger than that. That everything takes its right perspective once we have our lenses cleaned up, taken care of. He said it like this. Again, this is Jesus' words. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. See, it's not about priorities. It's about a priority. It's so challenging in our day because it's all about what we think is what we have to do, and we make a list and we go through it. And don't get me wrong, I love lists. I love checking off lists. Sometimes I do a whole bunch of stuff and I'm like, I never finished getting to my list. So you know what? I make my list and then I check it off, even though I already did it. I know it's a little weird, obsessive compulsive. I'll talk to someone about that one day. But seeking God and what he wants in this life is the master reset. It's a reset. It's on seeking his kingdom. But some of us, we don't know maybe how to do that. There's a word that one of the early people of Advent, actually one of the first ones of Advent to get people ready for Jesus' coming, was a gentleman named John the Baptist. It's actually not the Baptist. He was a baptizer of people, so we just kind of go with it. But John, his cousin, made mud pies together, hung out. And Jesus is, he doesn't know him like this yet. There's nowhere in Scripture give any clue that, in fact, he even asked later, like, are you sure, are you the one? Like, are you really the one? Like, when things get really dark for John. But here, John is in the wilderness, and he is out proclaiming, doing something to help others know that God is doing a new thing, that God is keeping his promise that he made way, way back to Abraham. And he says, prepare the way. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand or is near. Interesting. After he makes these comments, and there's some people there, and he kind of gives both barrels to a couple people that are there trying to kind of undermine what he's doing, what God's doing. And then he sees Jesus. And Jesus is there to get baptized. And he's like, okay, you're the one who should be doing the baptizing, not me. Like, this, come on, this is all backwards. Jesus says, no, this is exactly what God intended. Sometimes things work out exactly the way we think and what we hope for. Not often, but it happens. But usually the moments that God does the greatest work in our lives are not moments we plan. We came because someone invited us to a church service, or we heard about what God was doing somewhere, or we were just kind of hanging out and then something happened. God is in the mess of life. You think you're having challenges with family or friends? Guess what? God's there too. You don't like the diagnosis that a family member has gotten, or have you gotten? I'm not saying you have to like it, but he's there too. He wants to help you through the mess. Jesus didn't come in a palace. He didn't come and everything was perfect for him. He came to a teenage mother in the mess with the animals. He meets us in the mess. Ultimate reset. Where do you need to ask God to give you that change in your life? Well, John, the baptizer, would say you need to repent. Now, repentance is a real nice theological word. Repentance is something that, for some of us, we don't know what that might mean. But repentance is whatever it takes to get our lives back on track. Repentance is not turning away from behavior, it's turning towards someone, towards our good living Lord. Saying, Lord, what do you want to do? Help me not get caught up on my behavior. See, the challenge with behavior, sorry, I got my partner over there in crime. He's just so cute, darn it. Lost my train of thought. When we think repentance begins with behavior, we put our attention on ourselves. And with Jesus, it's not about looking more towards us. It's about more looking towards him. It's about recalibrating, getting things back again on track. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens with a simple moment to be still before the Lord and say, Lord, what do I need to? And if you know what it is, that's where you need to just have the courage and know that you're not telling God anything he doesn't already know. He knows it all. It's about us just coming, saying, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Again, true repentance begins by resetting our focus on him, on the person of Jesus. So where do you need to begin? Well, there's another text, and I normally just stay with one text, but today I think it was just important for us to kind of jump around. This comes from a gentleman named Paul. He says to this church in Philippi, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is not easy. Sometimes we just want to fix things. Sometimes we just want to take control, take charge. And again, emergency situations, that usually needs to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not always the case when we get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner or seeing friends and family. Maybe that's not our role to fix everything. It's hard. We want to fix things. We want to make things better. But maybe it's not our role. Maybe it's our role to be open and still and saying, Lord, what do you want to do in this person's life? To be focused on others, to help us in that reset, I think we have to say, Lord, where do you need to do the deep work in my own life? What do you have to do in my heart, in my life, so that I can be open to what you want to do in others, so I can partner with you more intentionally? The challenge that you and I face is this thing called humility. As soon as we think we have it, we've already lost it. I'm pretty humble. You're not humble anymore since you just said it. No one that's humble would ever say, I'm humble. It just doesn't work like that. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is becoming self-forgetful, though. You know what I realized this last week? All the things I've come to just be blown away when it comes to humility, because humility is a major concept. It's so difficult for us. We think we have it together. We usually come to God when things are really bad, and we're like, okay, I guess you're trying to get my attention, maybe. But humility is daily walking with the Lord. Here's what came to me this week I just never thought about. Humility only happens in relationship. You have to be with others to be humble. Think about all those that God has placed you around. Do they need to hear how great you are? No. Do they need to hear about all the things you accomplished? They don't. Nothing wrong to be proud of things that God has done in your life and things that you've been a part of, but maybe it's not about you. Maybe when we stop living the story like we're the main character and we start realizing he's the main character, maybe the story makes the most sense then. What challenges are you facing that you're just like, Lord, I don't know where you're taking this train? Are you trying to drive the train? Or are you letting him? The challenge that I know that I face is every day coming and saying, Lord, it's not my will, it's your will. I was talking with a lady yesterday. We were serving at a breakfast with Santa at a local school, making pancakes in the back kitchen, and had some fun. We're just yipping back and forth. And she made a comment how, man, this year's been such a great year. And I love when people say that. And I don't always hear that. I'm like, that's great. So what? Tell me more. I said, why has it been such a great year? She's like, oh, just because the year before was just so bad. I went, oh, okay. Keep flipping my pancakes. I'm not sure where this is going, but all right. And so then I went there, said, so what was so bad? She said, well, it's really been about almost 2 years. I said, really? She goes, yeah, my husband died of pancreatic cancer. I said, oh my, mid-50s. Never went to the doctor to get checked because he was too manly. But I'll be fine. I'll know when I'm hurting. I know when I'm sick. There's a reason, gentlemen, we have lower life expectancy, our stubbornness. Take this. This is a horrible warning, but it's true. Leaves 3 kids behind. So I'm talking to her. I'm like, wow, that had to be horrible. She goes, yeah. Then I found out that I had a tumor. I said, you what? She goes, yeah, I had a tumor. It was the size of a basketball. I said, huh? What? She goes, yeah, it wasn't malignant, so that was good, but oh my goodness. Then my son ended up having cancer too. What? Now I know why she's like, man, it's been a good year. No cancer, we're all alive. As I'm talking with her and just hearing about her story and the pain and the loss, I saw even in spite of it, saying, you know, I really treasure the times with my kids now. I really treasure the time when things are going well. Because once you've lost so much, you start to really pay attention to all that you do have. Now, every one of us has challenges. And I hope that you don't have a couple years like this wonderful lady. She truly is a wonderful lady. God bless her. Her name's Peggy. If you ever want to just, if God puts her on your heart to pray for her. But here this lady is serving kids that won't ever know she was there, just so others can experience some joy. No, is it time again? Dear Lord. Siri just likes to tell me, like, it's time. Let's move on. All right. I guess we're done. No, I'm just playing. In all seriousness, the challenge that you and I struggle with is maybe realizing we need a reset. Maybe every one of us needs to just humble ourselves and say, Lord, not my will, your will. To look out to the interests of others. We're pretty good about looking out the interests of ourselves. It's true. You have a certain way. Maybe you like to sit at your table and where the plates go and the silverware. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just you have a certain way. Maybe you fold your clothes, and that's fine. You have a certain way of how you do. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about you, Joe. Joe's over here going, he's talking about me. I'm not. I wasn't. Now I am. But no. But in all reality, it's about saying, Lord, help me to be fully present for where you've called me to be a part of. Advent means coming. Advent means being open to what God wants to do in your life. Jesus is coming. Are we ready? Are we ready? I bring up the question that I left with you last week because I just think it's that important of a question. Where do you need a holy reset in your life? Where do you need God to just be front and center? Where have you been trying to maybe take over the train? Where do you need to say, Lord, not my will, your will? Lord, I bow down. I bow down. Now you lift me up. Don't miss that. I love how it says it because it's just so good. He just says, when he goes down there, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Let the Lord be the one who lifts you up. You don't have to pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. That's not Christianity. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. Whoa, wait a minute. I know you're, no, it's really not. Crazy, what? It's not. It seems like the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. So where do we need to repent? Where do we need to humble ourselves? Who do we need to maybe let God take care of? That we don't have to put on, carry the robe and put down the hammer. We don't have to be judge and jury. How can we let God be ruler and reigner? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the challenge is great, but you said anyone who seeks first your kingdom and your righteousness, you're going to take care of life for them. When we reset by seeking your kingdom. We get our lives back on track with you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to bow down. That you would be the one to lift us up. It's not about pretending. It's not about trying harder. It's about you being God. And so we humble ourselves before you. We pray for those, Lord, who don't know they need you. We lift up those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who are so alone. And we pray, Lord, that your coming would meet them where they're at. We thank you for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, but we especially lift up our sister churches at the Grove, Indian River, Palm City. We pray, Lord, your will be done. We lift up our nation and our leaders. We pray that you would give them humility. How hard it must be. But Lord, you lead the way. Give them wisdom beyond their years, favor. Help us to be a light to others. Lord, we remember those you have put in our lives. We pray for them. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be ready for your coming. You taught your disciples to be ready for your coming by teaching them to pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.